very briefly to the word of the Lord. You've heard some good advice, and we always want to look to the word of the Lord for our best advice. And so the Lord put a special message on my heart from early, quite some time ago, for all of us this morning, but especially for you young adults that are joining us. And we're going to look at the word of God, but we're going to do it a little bit differently. And if you say, well, oh, Pastor Jennifer, that's a different type of service. It is a different type of service. And this is going to be maybe two part. Well, as I'm looking at the time, it's definitely going to be two parts as we look at this together. But what the Lord put on my heart was, you were born for this. So we're going to take a break from what we've been looking at for prayer and the Holy Spirit, our partner in prayer, as we look at this message, especially targeting our young adults, but from the Word of God. So it's for each one of us. You were born for this. But I need your help, first of all. So I'm going to ask for a little bit of participation. If you are here, it's easy. If you're joining us online in the privacy of your own home, we want you to join us as well. And I'm not going to ask your age, but we're going to do a little bit of survey. We're going to get kind of birth years for just a minute. And this is part of our message this morning. So if you were born between 1944 and 1964, would you raise your hand right now? Between 1944, I'm raising mine, and 1964. Keith, thank you. He was reluctant. Stephen, not yet. Wow. Okay, keep your hands up. Do you know what we are? What generation are we? We are not the older generation. We're the boomers, okay? You're kind of wondering, is this a message? Yeah, this is a message. Lord put it on my heart. We're the boomers or the baby boomers. And we're called the boomers because there was a baby boom after World War II in those years. And so that's why we're called boomers. Okay, 1965 to 1979. These are rough, some people. Okay, raise your hands, please. Okay. Dinkongs, I'm waiting for your hands over there. Okay, look around. Okay, do you know who, I'm getting really surprised. Do you know who you are? You are Gen X or Generation X, okay? These are just rough, it sounds so cool, doesn't it? Did you ever think Stephen was that cool? He's Gen X. We should see some gang signs or something like, you know, things like that, right? So that's you are Gen X, and you are also called, you may not know this, some of this is more Western, but you're also called the MTV generation. Did you know that? Because that's when MTV came or whatever. Now, those of us now are like MTV, so old. But when that came, it was sort of defining. So you are Gen X or the MTV generation. Okay, ready? 1980 to 1994. Hands up. Okay, this is the generation that has all sorts of flack, okay? You are Gen Y, or what else are you called? You're the millennials, okay? You're the millennials. So Gen Y or millennials. Okay, ready? 1995 to 2015. Raise your hands. Liar. Okay, so who do we see right now? So you know who you are? You are Gen Z or Zoomers, you're sometimes called, or Zoomers. I kind of like that. Or sometimes you're called the Centennials. You're called the Centennials. Now, Sister Lisa, I'm sorry, don't look. She's sitting back there so quietly, and she is saying, what about me? So we don't want to forget, but if you were born before 1944, you are called, among other things, primarily the silent generation. Okay? So here we have all of these generations, and now there are other generations as well, but we're going to talk about this morning. We're just going to come into it in a different way. You were born for this. So here we have these different generations, if you will. So you Zoomers, actually we're focusing on you this morning. You Zoomers, you Generation Z. What's the generation that comes after us? They're all upstairs in Sunday school right now, and they're called Generation Alpha. But probably that name's going to change as they begin to grow and develop their own characteristics, apparently. So let's look at a few things together as we look at this. This time, Sister Lisa, we're going to start with your generation, okay? And we're going to look at a few things because we're going to, you were born for this. And I want us to talk as we come into this and to think about, how do you see yourselves? How does society see you? But then what does God say about you? Because, you know, that's what the foundation is. That's what you need to know. That's where everything stands. So we're going to start with Sister Lisa, but we're going to spend more time as we get to you Zoomers, okay? So let's look at a few things. So I compiled a little bit of information. This is what you say about yourself. This is what others say about you, positive and negative. Okay, so let's look at a few things. They're considered very hardworking. Is that true, Sister Lisa? Yes. More traditional values. These are general, okay? Respect authority. Waste not, want not. I still remember my grandmother, who actually was a generation even before this one, mom's mom. We would go to visit them down in Florida, and we would eat, and we were pretty careful about clearing our plates, but I still remember mom's mom, my grandmother, sitting across the table from us. She didn't give any criticism, but I still recall her taking her fork and reaching across the table and eating the leftover from my plate that I was not going to eat. Or even eating, like if we were eating a piece of meat and I had cut off the fat and left it there, and my grandmother reached over and took the fat. She had grown up in a generation that it was hard and there was barely enough to eat. And so waste not, want not. I remember that so well. This generation tends to be tech challenged. So don't look at Sister Lisa. But how many times, I wonder, has Sister Lisa asked either Andreas or Daniel for help? Or somebody else, okay? What else? Careful with finances, okay? So this sort of describes this silent generation, okay? How about the next one? Okay, boomers. I think that was the largest group, okay? So here we go. What are some characteristics of boomers? Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. The silent generation, when questioned, said that they were the smartest generation. Okay, silent generation. Okay, boomers, ready? We are self-sufficient, accordingly, supposedly, resourceful and individualistic. We tend to be boomers, self-disciplined, organized. We tend to value stability and order. It is, by statistics, the richest generation, okay, the most resources. The tendency is to be workaholic, okay, tends to be. And we tend to be competitive and goal-oriented, okay? These are some general characteristics. And, by the way, when boomers were questioned, they said that they were the smartest generation. You're going to see a trend. Gen X, are you ready? 1965 to 1979. Self-sufficient, resourceful, here we go, individualistic, what else? Independent, least parented generation of all of these generations. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Tends to be more cynical. Now, this is across the board, okay? We're not talking about Christians or not. A lot of peer connections. Do you know why? This generation was born during a divorce boom. Now, this may not describe you, but all the characteristics that you see here are characteristic of children who have been born into a family that is broken, or there's just one parent, and both parents start working. And so very often when children would come in from school, my cousins were this way. They would come into a home where, for the first time, there was no adult. They would come in, they would open the door themselves to an empty home until their parents came home from work. That's why we can understand, if it was born during a divorce boom, all of these other general characteristics are part of it. So when they were asked, Gen X said, "We are the smartest generation." So do you see the pattern, right? Okay, millennials, they get kind of a bad rap, but let's see. They tend to be super self-confident. There may be more job hopping, socially conscious, more liberal in their outlook, very tech and social media savvy, and they tend to be visual learners. So you know what? Some of you wonder sometimes why I am using a lot more visual media as I'm preaching, since I've been preaching more. This is one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons as we have these new, as we have these younger ones who are coming in and who are part of it. So this is part of it. By the way, this generation has short attention spans. And when they were asked, this generation, the millennials said, we're the smartest generation. Now we come to you Zoomers. You ready? Like I said, this morning when we started worshiping the Lord and the lights started ding, 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 I thought, wow, they've got it together. We're doing a whole service, including worship as well. So let's talk about you Centennials or you Zoomers. I kind of like Zoomer the best. Don't take it the wrong way. We're going to focus more on you. You are the selfie generation. If you look at my phone, do you know how many selfies I have? Three. And the rest of them are in the trash because I hate selfies. I don't think, anyhow, enough of that. You were raised on internet and social media, right? You don't remember a time when there was not the internet or smartphones, right? Do you ever remember a time when you picked up the phone, there was a wire into the wall, right? And you put it right here, and then you went, you remember that? Only if you visit an elderly person in a very remote area, right? Okay, but this tells us about you. You can't remember a world without smartphones or the internet. You tend to live online and be tech dependent. You tend to spend more time on your phone than your elders do on TV, watching TV, okay? So that tells us a little bit more. You had your first smartphone before your 12th birthday. Does that describe you? Maybe. Okay, maybe not. And you may feel overwhelmed and lonely. Now, Zoomers, I don't know if that describes you or not. This is mostly from the U.S., primarily from the U.S., but this was self-reported that there were feelings of being overwhelmed and feeling really lonely and feeling isolated. And this was a strong response from Zoomers themselves as they were asked about this. So this was not from the outside. You sometimes have low optimism because you look at the world and some of the issues that you face and some of the problems that you face. And this may be part of your world outlook as well. But you're also progressive in your thinking. And as a group, you tend to be really diverse. You're a lot of different backgrounds and ethnic groups and things like that. So that describes you. And you value and you look for continuous updates, continuous information, and your attention span is 8 seconds. So this sermon is going to be really short. Amen. Here you go. I didn't make that up. That is according to statistics and things like that. So anyhow, these are some things that describe us. And you may say right now, bingo, you got me. This describes me. Or you may say, that doesn't really describe me at all or my generation as we look at this together. You don't know me. I'm not like that. So these are generalizations. But you know what? All of these things that we look at right now are not a biblical view, because God has a different way of looking at us, and God has a different way of valuing us, and God has a different way of saying, this is what's important. And so we want to take just a little bit of time this morning to begin looking at what God says about you. You may see yourself in this way. The world may see you in this way. What's most important is what God says about you and how God sees you. So though I'm targeting you Zoomers this morning, this is for every one of us because we all face this issue. So let's look at it together. And we're going to look at a verse that Kathleen put up. I think it was in the video that she prepared. I can't remember if I gave it to her or whatever. I don't even remember, but it was in my notes as well. And it's from Psalm 139. So let's look at it together. So here we are. By the way, did I tell you that Zoomers, you think you're the smartest generation and all the others. Every generation thought it was the smartest, so we've got that. But here's what God says about us. Psalm 139, a great claim. This is either written by David or one of the psalmists who was writing like David. And this psalmist, maybe David, says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and know everything about me." This is an extraordinary claim, brothers and sisters, isn't it? Think about who you are. Think about what you're like. Think about the things that you think. What's going on inside? Your motivations, your the things that frighten you. Ah, you don't want to say anything frightens you, do you? No, I'm brave, I'm bold, I can handle it. But inside, all of us, there are things that we worry about. There are things that we say, what will I do about this? What if this happens? God knows all of those things. It's an extraordinary claim. If I were to talk to your parents or your closest friends, they would tell us something about you. But do you know what? They couldn't tell us everything about you, could they? Even parents, you think you know your kids so well, and you do. But there are things that you don't know about your children. However, there is one who does. And God has searched us and knows us. Do you know what that word search means? It should help you. It should kind of give us another way of thinking about it. How many of you, this word, "Oh Lord, you have searched me," how many of you, I don't want to stereotype, but it's more likely women than men, how many of you bake? Raise your hands. You do some baking. Yeah? Okay. Keith, you do? I haven't been invited. Never mind. So when you, how's that for putting on the spot? When you bake, that's okay. I'll make it up to him afterwards. We'll sort it out. How many of you, when you bake, you, especially if you're doing something with flour and things like that, you have to sift when you do it, right? You've got to sift because if there are lumps and things like that, then the batter will be lumpy and it won't turn out as it should. The cake or the biscuit or whatever might drop. The word sift that we sometimes use is the same word here for search. So that makes my mind start expanding, doesn't it? That each one of you, it's as if the Lord has taken a sifter and is sifting you, is shaking it out. And then maybe you kind of get to the bottom. But when you start sifting, when you first look at all that flour, it looks great. It looks fine, right? It looks so smooth. And then you keep sifting and you get to the bottom. And what do you find? There's some lumps there, aren't there, that will make a difference in what the product is. And so when we think about that, that makes us think this is how God knows us. Now, some of you right now are going, "Uh-oh, this is how God knows me. I got a bunch of lumps and I know it." And God knows it too. But as we're going to see as we look at this psalm is one of the most loving psalms in the whole book of Psalms. In fact, it's full of love language. It really is. It's full of love language. So let's look at it. God makes this claim. Can he back it up? Yes, he can. Look with me. "You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even from far away. You observe me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do, all my ways." All of these things. You know all of this. Look at the next verse. "You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord." Okay, so for you movie buffs, pardon me, for everybody else, Tom Cruise and the precogs in Minority Report have nothing on God right now. Do you see that? God knows it all. He knows our thoughts. "You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand on my head." Now let's unpack that for just a minute. What does this mean? So there's the sifting, and then there's that part about placing your hand. We've all seen video shorts of some big person with their hand on a little person, kind of pushing it down, and the little person's doing this, right? And they can't move. This is not what this one means at all. Do you know what this means in this? This is a hand of blessing. It's a hand of blessing because hands are used to bless, aren't they? Sometimes in more formal churches, the pastor or the person speaking may hold out his hand in blessing. At other times when we pray, we put hands on, and it's a hand of blessing. So the Lord puts his hand of blessing upon you. Think about this with me just a minute. Zoomers and every other generation, all the way back to the silent generation, those things in you that are not always so lovely, those things that your parents don't know, those things that your best friends don't know, God knows all of those, and yet he is sticking really close to you, and yet he is putting on you a hand of blessing, and yet he is not saying, "Psh, go off and do it yourself." He is staying close to you. He's going before you. He's going behind you. And actually, it means he's encircling you in a good way, in a good way. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about. What is the response to this? What is your response to this when you think about this knowledge that God has about you, Zoomers and everybody else? When you think about this, what is your response? Do you know what it does to David? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Let's contemporize that. Do you know what we would say instead of verse 10? Such knowledge is too wonderful to me, for me. We would probably say something like, it blows my mind. That's what it means, right? It blows my mind. How can be? How can this be? But the writer, probably David, says, I can't even comprehend this. And I want you to think of something just a minute. Think with me about this. Think for just a minute about the things in your life that you protect and guard from anybody knowing. There are things about yourself. You know, we watch movies that say, if this document gets into enemy hands, it will change the war. You know, things like that. These vital pieces of information. Listen, every one of us, we have vital pieces of information also. We have things that we guard. Some of these things, listen, some of these things are things from your past. It may have been things that you did. It may have been desires that you had. It may have been things that were done to you. And you don't want anybody to know about it, and you cover it up. But I want to tell you this morning. Your secret is safe with God because he loves you. Your secret is safe. And when all of these things are in his hands, he removes the poison, and he removes the shame, and he transforms, and he says, there was that in your life, but that does not define you. You are defined by me, and I love you. You are defined by me, and I gave Jesus for you. This is why we can trust all of these things in his hands. And this is why you don't have to be afraid of these things, and this is why you don't have to be ashamed of these things. You can put them in his hands, and he will never, listen, he will never use it as a weapon against you. Sometimes people use knowledge. Sometimes people use our weaknesses as a weapon against us, don't they? And sometimes even we do, and we're not fighting fair, if you will. Your loving God will never do that to you. Your knowledge is safe in his hands because they're hands of love, and he encircles you round before and behind. And that should bring you so much comfort this morning. That should bring you healing this morning to know that. Because you know what God does about these things in your life? He doesn't cover them up. He doesn't belittle them. He doesn't say it doesn't matter. But he takes care of them so that you can keep on moving and you can keep on walking in the path that he has for you. Now, I'm looking at the time, but for the sake of the Zoomers, 8 seconds and all of that, we're going to skip some verses, okay? But on your own, Psalm 139, you want to go back and read that? What a love letter this is. So let's skip a few verses. But if you look at those middle verses, it describes God's presence being with us always, wherever we are, wherever we are. And you know what David says? Even there, your hand will lead me, wherever you go, wherever you are. And that encourages me. Your right hand will hold on to me. So here, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. You know what's encouraging about right hand holding on? Let me ask you something. you lefties and you righties, okay? Those of you who are right-handers, what's your strongest arm? What's your strongest hand? You're right. If you're a lefty, any lefties here? Got a few lefties? Okay, got some lefties. Okay. What's your strongest hand? Your left hand. It's the dominant hand. So when the writer says this, your right hand, he's not preferring righties over lefties. But traditionally, that's a picture of the strongest arm, the strongest hand. And this should encourage you because you know what? In a sense, with his strongest hand, God is holding on to you right now. With his strongest hand, no weakness there. You're not going to drop and you're not going to fall. It's beautiful. And then he goes a little bit further. So in the early part, he says, you see me when I go here. You see me when I go here. You see me in home. You see me outside. That's quite a lot of knowledge. But his knowledge gets even deeper. Are you ready? Look at this knowledge. You created all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Hey, you big guys, let me pick on Timothy just a minute. He's the tallest one in the church. Yay! Praise the Lord. He is fearfully and wonderfully made. I look at Timothy. Timothy, did you know you have delicate inner parts? He doesn't seem that way, does it? You have delicate inner parts. God made you that way. I hope you all know. I'm not picking up, but I want us to get the vivid nature of it. It's so beautiful. It's so encouraging. And what does it say? It says, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Okay, I think we're probably going to, let's finish with these verses this morning. And next week we're going to pick up. Don't start recalibrating yet, okay? I'm just letting you know because I'm looking at the time. But let's stop with this, okay? And let's unpack these verses. So wonderful. So you created all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. How many of you know how to knit? How many of you enjoy knitting? Two people right back here. I tried one time. I gave it up after 15 minutes. I'm not that good. But what a beautiful picture here of knitting together. And this is the word. That's why I say this is really a love letter. This is the word that God inspired. Knitting, this delicate, careful thing. Because if you miss a stitch, what are you going to have to do, ladies? You got to take it all out and go back again, right? Because in the final product, it will show, won't it? And so God is a master knitter, and he doesn't miss anything in your life. He puts you together in a perfect way. And this picture, because this word is used more than once, is actually a picture, a word picture that also means protective. That's what it means. So as he's making you in a protective way. He's putting you together in this way. So then it says, all of my delicate inner parts. I don't know if Timothy has any delicate inner parts or not. You know, he's a big old guy. I believe there might be some delicate inner parts. Can you think of a delicate inner part in your body? Can you think of, okay, Zoomers, we're calling on you now because you've just been in school. Ready? Testing time. Where are the smallest, most delicate bones? Okay, everybody else, this is for the Zoomers. Smallest, most delicate bones in the human body. Zoomers only. Jewel's shaking her head. Timothy? Oh, boy. Okay, so Zoomers, you cannot say that you're the smartest generation. I'm so sorry. Okay, let's get a little help because you know what? We always need a little help. Where are the smallest, most delicate bones in the human body? There we go, right there. Let's take a quick look. And those little bones in there are the three smallest bones in the human body. So, Josh, to make you feel better, I also thought hand. I did. I had to look it up. And let's look at these bones. When I was in school a long, long time ago, I called them the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. But apparently that's not what they're called. Stephen is laughing at me right now. Stephen, is that what you learned? Of course, he's the MTV generation. Look with me. If you'll look right here, there, hammer, anvil, stirrup, but there are the scientific names, malleus, incus, and the stapes. Do you want to see how big they are? To size. Look at that. How amazing is that? Did you know they were that small? Like 2.5 millimeters to around 3 millimeters. Take a look at that. That's a real one. That's a real one. Think about that, brothers and sisters. When God was designing you, when God was designing mankind, God did that. God did that, didn't he? And so we see, to me, this answers one of the questions, does God really love me and does God really care about the details of my life? Because a lot of you, you have questions about this because you're facing things and you think, well, God doesn't care about this. I beg to differ. If God cares about this, don't you think he cares about the other things that you're facing that nobody else knows? When I look at this and I think about how man was first created, something came to mind yesterday as I was working on my notes and as I was praying and preparing. With God's touch, mud becomes a masterpiece. That's what kind of came to mind, that expression. Mud becomes a masterpiece because God took dust of the earth. And so as we see this, and as we come to a close this morning, David says, You created all of the delicate inner parts, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. We're going to come back to this next week, but we're going to close with this. We close with verse 14. The writer says, Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. So my question to us this morning as we close, to all the Zoomers, to all the Boomers, to all of the Millennials, to all of the everybody, silent, boom, all, every one of us, every one of us. Do you know this? Do you know this? Or do you say, what is my life about? Is my life valuable? Is it based on what I produce? Is it based on how society regards me? The writer says, listen. Because God's touch is upon you, you are special. Because God's hand is upon you, you are loved. Because God's hand is upon you, you are of worth. You are of value. Not because of what you do or what you don't do. Not because of how you look. Not because of what university you get into or you don't get into. But because God's hand is upon you and he loves you. This is a letter of love from God to you. Whatever generation you're from. Whatever you think about yourself. Whatever the world thinks about your generation, God says, you are loved. You are valuable. I gave Jesus for you, and I want you to know that. That's what it says. Do you know it? The writer says, how well I know it. Do you know that? If you don't know it, you've been listening to the lies of the enemy who steals, kills, and destroys. You've been listening to the lies of the enemy that says your worth is this. Start listening to God's words. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We want to say with David, with the psalmist, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God, I don't feel that way sometimes because sometimes I'm a jerk. Sometimes I do things and I think, why did I do that? You say that you know a word before it's even on my tongue. And God, sometimes sharp words come out and I think, why did I say that? But they're said. But Lord, I pray that your people would know your love, would respond to your love, would know your care and respond to your care, that we're your people, that we belong to you, that we are of value and worth, and that as we're going to see, you have a plan for us and you guide our days. in Jesus' name. Now, just as we close, amen, I'm going to ask all the Zoomers to stand.